What's up, everyone? Welcome to the We Have Spoken podcast. I am Chuck P. As always, here with my right-hand man, the man with the plan, the man who stands with the plan, the all-American man, Michael Grimion, the Grim.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. So we're late this week with our podcast. Yeah, this one's super late, though. Normally, you know. Yeah, we're super late. But the good thing is this. So this is it's dropping on today, which is the 30th. We're recording this morning. But the good news is we'll also record this coming Monday to drop on Tuesday. So you're going to have two back-to-back kind of podcasts.
Kind of close to one another's.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so we decided since we're doing that so close, we're going to concentrate on two shows for this episode and two shows for our recording on Monday. So today's show will feature She-Hulk and Andor, and Monday we'll have House of the Dragon and the Rings of Power, because we haven't watched today's Ring of Power yet.
Right, and then there's a House of the Dragon on Sunday, so we can get two episodes of Rings, two episodes of Dragons, and then we've got the two episodes of She-Hulk and four episodes of Andor for today.
And that's what we will cover. You want to start with She-Hulk?
We should start with She-Hulk. It's been the pattern.
Yeah. So we have two episodes.
So people are skipping over this, you know.
Right.
Don't skip over it. It's a fun show. Stop being mad at it, everybody.
Look,
just let it be fun.
For all the people that are complaining, like, where's Daredevil? They said Daredevil's coming. If you honestly thought that Marvel was going to drop one of the most anticipated characters to enter into the MCU in, like, episode three of a 9-episode series, you're stupid. Like, come on. They're holding it until there's 9 episodes. Episode 8 and 9, I promise you, will have Daredevil in it. Because that's how this works.
What if it doesn't?
What if
he just shows up for like 2 minutes on the end of episode 9?
What if he's like the post-credit scene on episode 9? That would be the greatest.
I would laugh so hard.
I'd have so much respect for Marvel. Not that I don't already, but I would have even more respect if they pulled that.
The show's called She-Hulk. It's not called She-Hulk and Daredevil. It's just She-Hulk. And we've said it before. It's like a sitcom, comedy, law procedural, night court.
Yeah.
She-Hulk, night court.
She-Hulk, night court. She-Hulk, nights.
But they're getting into some interesting stuff, though. So we have the wedding episode.
The wedding episode was last week.
And then the post-wedding episode.
Yeah.
To discuss. So the wedding episode, she gets called in to be a bridesmaid. And by the way, if anybody ever sends me a package with that much glitter and garbage in it.
Punch him in the face.
Not only am I not going to the thing that you're doing, I'm sending it back to you and it's going to be filled with poo.
That will explode in your face.
Yeah, it's going to blow up and just fill your house. Your house is going to look like a Pollock.
Poo house. Poo house.
Like Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Poo house.
Poo house.
Roadhouse.
Poo house.
Poo house.
I thought that was a really funny episode. I like that she showed up as She-Hulk thinking that's what the girl wanted. And the girl was like, no.
Oh, no. I mean, as soon as I saw that girl, first off, you should have known with all the garbage she sent in that invitation.
Yeah, that she was just.
That she was going to be extra as all things. But, you know, then she's like, don't take away from my day. And then I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. Bridezilla episode.
Right.
You know.
But also, I understand that. Like, that's her big day.
You show up
as She-Hulk and then you're like, oh, you're drawing all the attention away from me.
If anything, she didn't invite She-Hulk. She invited Jen.
Yeah, yeah.
Now she just disrespects Jen from jump.
Oh, has her cleaning and picking up stuff.
Walking with the dog.
Yeah.
As her groomsman.
Dude, right there, I'd have just lost it.
Just like, nope, I'm okay because you know what? I'm actually doing pretty good right now.
Right.
She was feeling pretty good about herself. She's like, I got a good job. I got things going on. I did something good with my job recently. I helped a guy get out of prison.
Right.
You know, I'm feeling pretty confident and things are going all right. And then
this wedding
she doesn't even get to flex any of that stuff.
And then the worst part about it is it's a cash bar, which is like, don't have a cash bar.
Titania shows up. She's
Titania
like, oh, I'm dating
up.
One of the groomsmen or something. It's like, yeah, sure you are.
Yeah, because they showed a guy and you're like,
look at that guy. Nope, no, you're not. I know exactly why you're here.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because she was just like, she said the exact same thing I was thinking she was going to say, was it's not always about you. And I was like, that's real. Like, that's some really gaslighting stuff that people do to each other.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Like, that's some hardcore, without a doubt, she's pushing the buttons.
Right.
You know?
And she knows how to get under Jen's skin.
And she don't want no part of her if she gets serious. Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, we saw what happened when it did get serious at the end.
She didn't even do that to her. She slipped and busted her face on the dance floor on her own. But, I mean, you know, Jen hasn't really fully gone
like Hulk out. Raged out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She hasn't gone out on anybody yet.
The most you saw her get angry was episode 2 with Bruce when they fought on the island or whatever that he was on.
Yeah.
And she kind of like,
they kind of went at each other pretty hard. I mean, like, obviously a Hulk versus a Hulk. So they kind of went at each other pretty good. But she's not, I don't think she's really even tapped in. And he was not anywhere near his true capacity when he was fighting with her because he had murdered her.
Right.
But
it would have been interesting to see those two at full Hulk rage just go at it. There'd have been nothing left of that island.
Yeah. Oh, no. It would have been a devastation. Absolute devastation.
Yeah.
So then they have the big thing and she meets the guy. So then the guy that she meets at the deal goes into the next episode. B plot of that episode was the Mallory and I can never remember her name.
Her assistant.
Her assistant. I can never think of her name either. Her assistant. I know. She's awesome.
She's great.
I can't think of why I don't know her name right now. That's really frustrating me because she's like spectacular comic relief for the show.
She's great. Did you see, like, for a second, she kind of breaks the fourth wall when they're talking, looking at that website? And, like, she's going, we should tell Jen. Her name's Nikki.
Nikki. Sorry, Nikki.
She's telling Mallory that we should tell Jen about this website because it's not like they're saying all kind of just random stuff about it. She needs to be dead.
Yeah,
like they're
it was
trying to
full
kill
on not great. It's not your typical, I hate this show and everything and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't your typical internet troll or
incel
community. It was very much full on, like, okay, that could be dangerous.
Right. But there's a split second where she kind of like looks at the camera and then looks back to the computer. And it's just like, oh, did she break the fourth wall?
I don't know if she did or not. I think it was meant to convey that she was kind of thinking about what would be her best course of action.
Maybe.
And then we see her leaving a very detailed and inopportune message for Jen. Like, I didn't leave that on a voicemail.
Yeah.
And that goes into the next episode, which is Jen and Josh getting on dates and doing stuff and showing Jen happy, you know, and enjoying herself. And then the dates go by and then they end up sleeping together and she wakes up the next day. And I was just like, he's not there. I knew it. I knew he wasn't going to be
100%,
there.
Yeah.
And she, of course, does the spiral thing, which anybody would do if they thought that things were going as good as they seemed to be going.
When she got up out of bed, she texted him like, last night was fun. I'm still smiling.
I can't stop smiling.
And then like no response. And she keeps looking at the phone. I mean, how many times have we done that? Like,
No. You know? This is all.
I've done that a lot.
Outside the fact that she can grow into a 7-foot green rage monster.
Yeah.
This is very relatable and human. This part is extremely relatable and human to anybody who has dated, especially in today's day and age.
Yeah, for sure. But when they introduced that guy in the previous episode, I was like, this dude's too chummy. Yeah, like, come on.
He came in way too smooth.
Yeah.
Way too confident. You know, like, he just rolled in there way. Like, maybe it's just me because I've never felt that cool or confident. are there real people that act like that in the world?
I'm sure there are.
Maybe so.
We don't hang out with them.
I don't know them.
No clue.
And it can't be me.
No, definitely not us.
So I was just like, I don't trust this guy. Don't trust him.
No.
Can't trust it.
Can't trust it.
And then we've got the, she gets pulled into going out to the meditation center.
Yeah, because Blonsky's parole officer calls her and he's like, hey, showing some activation with his ankle bracelet. You know, I need to go check on him, but I don't want to get abominated.
And why would you?
Yeah, who would? So he asked Jen to meet him out there just in case. And all it was apparently he got too close to one of his chicken coops.
So he says.
So he says, I believe him, though. I don't think this is like a scam. Because like she said, why would you try to leave after you tried so hard to get out of jail? Like, why would you do something to jeopardize that and going back in? So I feel like he was telling the truth when he said he got too close to the electric fence with the chicken coop and it shorted it out or whatever.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that there's something else with that. Not that it's nefarious necessarily. He seems to be pretty good, like in a good mindset, you know, like he seems to at least be there to try to help people.
Yeah.
Which is good. But I do think that there's something else that's going on. And
maybe
the fact that it was like the inhibitor was off or damaged or malfunctioning, and they couldn't tell if he did change or how long it had been or anything like that. It could have been any number of things that could have, you know, he could have been doing. So right. I'm not going to completely write him off as 100% the good guy, because where's all the women that where's all his soulmates? I didn't see any of them out there.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe they were doing soulmate things.
I don't know, but I mean, like
whatever that is.
However many of them, there's seven of them.
There's seven of them.
I mean,
it is a drastic change from the last time you see Emil Blonsky from the Incredible Hulk movie, where he's just like he's dead set on becoming something like the Hulk, that powerful and that like, you know.
Well, he wanted to be a super soldier.
Right.
He wanted, you know, but he wanted it for the power part of it. He didn't, I don't know. I don't think he was necessarily, because he had been trained to be a weapon.
True.
And that's a different mindset as opposed to what you, you know, might actually do with that kind of real power. You
yeah.
know, as they say, the serum only makes you more of what you are.
So. Yeah. Out of any Marvel character, I thought I would never see on a movie or a TV screen, we get Man Bull.
Right? Porcupine.
And Porcupine. I was like, whoa. Talk about a deep cut. Like, you have to be a true comic book reader, like, to understand, like, who those characters are. And then at the end of the episode in the credits, when I saw that Zeb Wells was the writer of this episode, who is a comic book writer, wrote a bunch of She-Hulk, wrote a bunch of Spider-Man, wrote Captain America issues. Like, okay, now it makes sense for those deep cut characters to be in there. The Nassaris, I think that was his name. The guy thought he was a vampire. That's an act.
That he's a vampire.
He's in the comics. He's a vampire.
No. That guy in that character is a vampire.
He kept up.
Because I mean, like, did you hear his voice? Like,
yeah,
his voice modulated one time, and he kept talking about blood and stuff. You know,
you seem like you're a really cool person, and then you would taste good. Oh, I did it again.
Somebody help me!
Somebody help me!
Yeah, I think that guy's a vampire, a real vampire.
Yeah, but all four of those characters are deep cut Marvel characters. He's a real vampire.
A real fantasy vampire.
He's a real TV comic book character vampire.
Yeah, it's a fake vampire. Empire.
But I like the little round table discussion that she walks in on because she's trying to find Wi-Fi service on her phone. And then the one of the guys from the wrecking crew that tried to jump her in the alley shows up.
Triggers.
Yeah, triggers her, and she expands and becomes the Hulk.
Expands.
I don't know what else to call it. She transforms.
She embiggens.
That's Ms. Marvel. I like that whole scene with them talking, and she's explaining what she did, and they're all like, oh, no, why'd you do all that?
Yeah. That was very, again, relatable stuff.
Yeah.
Marvel characters,
right?
You know, it's like, hey, humans still in there somewhere, whatever. I did like the thing, like, Spanish is a language, it's not. And he's like, have you never heard of Spain? I was like, oh my gosh, man, come on, great line.
So good, so many really good lines.
Yeah, there was some good stuff in there, and I did like the breakdown where she's like, you know, I was never this person, and now I'm this person, and I can be this person at will, but
yeah,
I'm overshadowing who I am by who I'm able to be. And it was just, it was good stuff, good character development stuff.
Yeah. Well, she describes She-Hulk as like, remember that friend you had in high school who was always a little bit more popular and a little bit more prettier than you are? And she's like,
athletic.
Like, that's all me.
Yeah.
Like, she's both people. She's the unpopular person and the popular person.
Right. And it's always a diminishing returns.
Right.
You know, so, but after all of that, and she heads home and we see what happened to Josh, is that Josh was a jerk and the bad guy. Not the bad guy,
not the bad
guy.
Working with the bad guy.
You know,
I want to know how he got her blood.
I think it was just when she was sleeping or something, or
I guess because he sent the text and it,
like,
showed the blood, like like the little needle, blood needle emoji or whatever. And I'm just like, how did he get her blood?
I mean,
I had thoughts in my head, but I don't want to say those things either.
But it's, you know, he got it.
Yeah. He got it and he got the blood.
He got the blood, and it turns out he's part of that network or whatever. What was it called? Intelligentsia,
like? Yeah. Do you think, I feel like all signs are going to point to the leader at this point. They're setting the leader up to be in the Captain America movie, New World Order. I believe that, and to keep it very Hulk-based, the leader might be. I don't know who else it could be besides Julia Louis-Dreyfus' character, Contessa.
Yeah. Because I was going to say we could see General Ross, but they haven't cast the new General Ross yet, so.
No, they're in talks with someone.
I know, they're in
possibly.
Talks. They're in talks, potentially. They want somebody specifically.
They have a grumpy old man who.
Well, he's grumpy, all right.
Who could possibly, take the reins over if this rumor turns out to be true, which, I mean. So we're talking about Harrison Ford. The rumor is Harrison Ford is Marvel's contacted him about taking William Hurt's place since William Hurt passed away. Harrison Ford's 80. So, do we want another older? I mean, I don't feel like you have to go that old with it. You can,
right.
Sam Elliott's still around too. You could bring Thunderbolt Ross from the Eric Bana Hulk in and have him be General Ross. Ooh, speaking of that movie. By the way, saw this on Twitter.
Why are you speaking of that movie? Because you saw this on Twitter.
Yes, I saw this on Twitter. Wouldn't it be cool with like all the multiverse stuff going on with the Hulk? What if you brought Eric Bana's Hulk into the MCU, but he's the Maestro? And he is that older version of the Hulk that's like at the end of the world or whatever. And he's like this crazy, just tyrannical Hulk madman.
Potentially, but with the multiverse, you don't have to use him specifically. You can just create a Maestro. I mean, you don't have to tap the previous movie, and I just feel like that movie just needs to be what it is, which is just forgotten.
I don't mind that movie. It's not great, but I don't mind it. Like, it's too artsy for art's sake. I understand what Ang Lee was trying to do.
Turn into a big lightning monster at the end, man.
That I didn't like. I was like, what's this lightning monster?
How you going to fight that? You can't.
Thunder?
You can't fight it.
You can't fight lightning. You lose. You always lose. I don't know what's going on with who this intelligentsia, who the leader of it is, if it's the leader. But I can't think of anyone else. So that's my theory. It's the leader or it's... the Contessa, or
it's probably the leader. It makes too much sense, and it does. And we always say it's got to make sense for it to make sense. You know,
right.
to make it good.
Right.
So it would make the most sense for it to be the leader. But I'm wondering how Daredevil fits in, if he fits in at all, if it's the leader.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like for Daredevil to fit in, it's got to be some kind of court case that he is. The person that Jennifer is going against. That's how it works for me, at least. I don't know what other way it could bring together.
What if it's Luke Cage?
What if it's Luke Cage?
That would be awesome.
Get out of here. Sweet Christmas. What if it's the Kingpin? What if it's the Kingpin?
Well, that's what we originally thought.
Yeah.
Because of the Daredevil angle.
Right. But that seems too obvious.
Yeah, it's way too obvious.
Yeah, so I mean, who knows? but finishing up with She-Hulk and jumping into something else before we get into Andor, not even breaking news because it's a couple days old, but still insane news. We knew a Deadpool 3 was coming. We knew that was in the works. What we didn't know...
Did not know.
...was that Hugh Jackman's coming back to do Wolverine one more time.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds is the king of marketing. That dude is just so good with his Aviation Gin brand, with what him and Rob McElhenney are doing with Welcome to Wrexham, which if no one's watching that on Hulu...
Watch it.
It's really good. But the dude, he's just a genius. And the whole thing of him in his living room is laying, like, we've been trying to work on a Deadpool 3 pitch, trying to come up with a story. Right now, I don't have anything, but we do have one idea. And then Hugh Jackman walks in the background. And then the second video they do was like, we want to address all, you know, how we're going to handle this. And they just play Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go while they're talking about whatever they're talking about. And I think with all of this, because everything I've seen, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, everybody's like, Deadpool's going to show up. I just want to say Daredevil all the time. Deadpool's going to show up at the grave of Wolverine because he dies. And then because of the end of Deadpool 2. Oh, get Daredevil out of my brain. At the end of Deadpool 2, he's jumping through time fixing stuff because Cable gave him the little thing. So he saved himself from doing Green Lantern. And all that stuff. I think that's overthinking it. They say it pretty much in the second video. Logan happens in 2029. The Deadpool movie comes out in 2024. It doesn't have to be they bring Logan back from the dead because right now Logan's not dead.
But what year are we in the MCU?
2025, I think. So we're close to it, but still.
What if it's a blip storyline?
It could be, but it doesn't explain how old Logan is in, like, how he looks in 2029 in that movie. Okay.
So one of the reasons that things change is because the Scarlet Witch does that spell or whatever.
Right.
And so that hasn't happened. Maybe that's the trigger for him and his healing factor to stop working as well, or to stop working.
Maybe. That could affect it. Or, I mean, they do a multiverse. It's the Wolverine from the Professor X, like they did in Doctor Strange. That's the Professor X from the animated world, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, the good and the bad of the multiverse is it gives you a lot of avenues. The bad is they get to kind of get away with, it's a multiverse character.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And it's a way to do it for him to do it one more time.
Yes.
Because, I mean, he's what? Hugh Jackman's like 50 something.
Yeah.
You know, he can't do it forever, although he looks incredible and could probably do it for another 10 years.
He's older than me, and it would be like, okay, so run up that. No.
No, no. Ain't nobody running up that hill.
run up those. No. No, no. No,
not
no.
happening. Another Marvel news story that broke. The director of Blade has left the project. They were supposed to start filming
that
next
movie
month.
Is just cursed. It's cursed.
It's cursed, I tell you. I mean, the reason cited for this was the just delay in production. Like, that's been a thing. They've been moving stuff around, but Bassam Tariq was the director. He's still staying on as an executive producer. But also I heard that Maharishi Ali was not happy with the script. Apparently, there were only like two big, huge fight scenes in it, and they were very lackluster. So they brought in a new screenwriter who had worked on Moon Knight and also has done some script work on the upcoming X-Men 97 animated series that's coming out. He is now writing the screenplay for Blade. So that movie's supposed to come out next year, like November of next year. They were starting production in October. So I have a feeling that's going to change. That release date's going to get pushed. But that's it for your like Marvel news.
Okay, enough of that.
Let's get to the thing. Andor, the latest Star Wars series on Disney Plus. Highly anticipated, telling the story of Cassian Andor 5 years before he makes his first appearance in Rogue One. Dropped three episodes last week on premiere day. First two episodes, as I expected, slow-paced, building a story. I get it. Third episode, things happen. Things start moving. Get it. Fourth episode that dropped this week, I thought was great. Setting up more stuff, but still some things were happening. I'm loving everything about this series. It doesn't feel like a Star Wars series, but it obviously is a Star Wars series. The way it's filmed looks different. The music is different. I don't know. It's hard to describe how I view it, but it's just, I love the fact that it's Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars. It's very, it's got that spy intrigue kind of just darkness to it, which I think is what's needed in Star Wars. Like, you don't have to constantly mention a Skywalker or have a lightsaber or Darth Vader's here. Look out. There he is hanging out on that mountaintop. Like, you don't need that. Like, we have other characters and other storylines you could talk about, and this is like, they're doing it on this show, and I'm digging it. It's really good.
Yes.
That's all you
I'm not one for hyperbole. No, I am totally not one for hyperbole.
I was about to say wrong.
Wrong. I absolutely love this show.
It's so good.
It is such a welcome change to Star Wars. And you and I have discussed this ad nauseum, if you've listened to our podcast, about how Star Wars gets caught up in being too marketable sometimes.
Right.
And the audience for this one is decidedly more adult, I think.
For sure. This is, there's no cute baby Grogu. There's no Luke Skywalker. There's just like, this is the beginnings of the Rebel Alliance. This is like all the backwater stuff. This is how things are getting done. It's dirty. It's grimy. You know, it's not shiny and, droids and happy stuff and things like that. It's the nitty gritty of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. No corny jokes told at inopportune times that don't make sense. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't think there was joke in the
only
whole four episodes.
I think the only thing that was lighthearted in the first three or four episodes is the guy playing the bell or whatever.
That was pretty cool. I like that.
Awesome.
Oh, I did like that.
He's
guy
up there, God of Hammers.
Yeah.
And he's just raining down. And I was just like, Charles would love to be that guy.
I want to be that dude.
He would be that guy.
Let me ring the block.
He'd be laying some beats on y'all.
I did like the robot. I can't remember what his number is.
B2 Emo or something
Yeah. I liked him.
Yeah. Well, he's an emotional robot and he's B2 Emo.
But it's like, that robot's been through some stuff because he's all beat up. And then when they do the flashbacks, he's all nice and clean and stuff.
Right.
And,
it's been a while.
Yeah.
I did like the, we always talk about the use of flashbacks and being like too dependent on flashbacks, but we need to see why this guy, why Andor is where he is and who he's with and how he got there.
Right.
And why he's looking for his sister.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff gets told not in one continuous flashback, in pieces.
Right.
Pieces here, pieces there, as the story goes.
But that's what made those flashbacks 100 times better than what they did with Boba Fett. Like, they spent too much time on those flashbacks.
Right.
And these, you're getting pieces.
Well, yeah.
Which just works better.
And every time they did it, he was in the Wayback Machine.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, we obviously know we're going to get that. So, like, just get it over with kind of deal, you know? I like, we start out with him at a brothel, okay? A brothel.
A brothel.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know? And we saw one kind of in Boba Fett.
Yeah,
kind of.
But this one.
But this one is definitely
a brothel.
A brothel.
Yeah. And the music's very Daft Punkish.
Dude, I was like, is Tron? Is Tron?
Are you going to
there and be like two little Daft Punk robots playing beats? And but I did like that. I mean, I liked that, obviously Star Wars has always been, sort of tagged with the symphonic pieces, which is not bad. It's good. It's been great. But I like that this is like, nope, we're doing a little different Star Wars now.
Yeah. You're getting a little symphonic stuff, but it's yeah. not full blown.
Yeah. And he goes in there and we get to see the low level bad guys, not stormtroopers.
Right.
Corpos. Like yeah. corporate security is what they are. Yeah. They call them corpos. And it's like the local sheriff against, you know, what the Empire would be like, the FBI or something like that. It'd be like the local sheriffs, and they report up the chain, and eventually it gets to the top kind of deal. And two guys that are not supposed to be there and not supposed to have the money to be there.
Yeah, on duty.
And drinking the thing that they're not supposed to be able to afford, which is also not supposed to be served anywhere. You know, it's like the boss was like, look, let this go. You know, because you got old Ranger Rick. He's like, let's do this, man. Let's go get them. You know, I'm all gung-ho about it.
Yeah. It's like, I can't say he's the by-the-book guy, because if he was by-the-book guy, then he would be.
He would never break the chain of command.
Right. But he's also just like, our brothers were slaughtered in the streets, and we need to defend this.
You don't
know
them.
Like, yeah,
you don't know them.
Like, yeah.
I just like that, you know, we have a fight. These guys are shaking him down for money. They're obviously crooked.
Right. You knew what was going to happen.
And then he fights him. And one guy accidentally gets killed. Accidentally. I really believe that the first one was an accident.
I think it ricocheted off something and just hit him, and that's what happened.
And then the other guy's like, no, man, look, we're just going to go inside. We're going to tell him it was an accident.
And you know that's just not what was going to happen.
And he's just sitting there. He's just like, you can see him. I was just like, there's no way that this guy's telling the truth. What are you going to do? Boom, you shoot him. Right. Oh, okay. Well, you shot him.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you knew that if he went ahead with that guy, as soon as they got to one of his boys, he'd be like, this dude just killed Johnny back there in the alleyway.
Oh, Johnny!
Johnny!
Johnny! So hey, gold.
He knew that, which is why he's like, I'm going to shoot this dude in the head because
I can't afford to get caught up in this mess.
Right. So, I mean, what else was he going to do?
But what a tone setter.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like,
hey, Star Wars people.
Yeah.
Guess what?
There's no Ewoks in this one, baby. You're not in Kansas anymore. You're not on Tatooine anymore, I guess
you'd
say.
You know, we get to see him in the interpersonal relationships and his friend Bix, who is a dime.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Like I'm only reading Playboy for the articles. No. You're only watching Star Wars for the
dime piece.
She's beautiful.
She's messing around with some guy who's apparently from planet Scotland or something. And he decides he doesn't like Cassian and his swarthy good looks.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's super jealous. Around. He's like, I know that's your ex, and I don't like the fact that y'all still hang out and talk. I don't like the fact
that y'all hang out. And obviously, he is handsome.
Yeah, and
you know?
Wanted by the corpos, so I'm going to rat him out.
So he rats him out. I was like, you know, when he got shot, I was like, good. Good.
As soon as I saw him coming down the steps, I was like,
snitches get stitches.
As soon as I saw him coming down the stairs, I'm just like, oh, he did.
Good.
He's going to open his mouth and then go shoot.
Open your mouth, and then she's going to see, like, this is, we always talk about the spark that starts the rebellion kind of deal.
Yes.
This is one of those kind of moments. I mean, like, the big thing is obvious. There's a bigger unifying moment, I think, in the first Death Star, you know, destruction that really draws in people to the rebellion side. But, you know, this was a local spark of rebellion. And all these people, you know, they're setting off the alarms when the corpos are there.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're not necessarily out there actively working against them, but they're not helping them.
No. They're just like, hey, watch out, Popo. It's almost like, you know, when in The Wire, when Omar comes through the neighborhood, he starts whistling. Everybody's like, look out, Omar coming.
Omar coming.
Man. They're just letting you know Omar.
They did coming. Omar wrong, by the way.
Oh, man.
That's no way to go out.
Poor enough for Omar. Yeah, I mean, the introduction of Stellan Skarsgård's character as
best character in the show,
dude, playing the double agent, like he is deep in, like episode 4. I was not expecting to see Coruscant yet. I knew it was going to happen at some point, but I didn't realize it was going to be episode 4. But like seeing how he's part of that society, but also deep in with Mon Mothma, who shows up at his antique shop so they can discuss like what's going on, and seeing how integral he is to the development of the Rebel Alliance and getting with these other people on this other planet to go and rob basically the spot where all the Imperial payroll is, which I thought was like, this is cool. Like, we're going to rob a bank. It's a bank robbery.
It's a heist. It's a heist.
It's so cool. Like, this is
you
so...
You son of a... I'm in.
I'm in. It's so non-Star Wars. It's like, you're going to go work with this crew. We're going to rob this bank.
I don't know, man. I think most of Star Wars is heisty.
I mean, when you're a smuggler, yeah. We've never seen that side before. Yeah,
well,
you know?
We've never seen is the real nuts and bolts planning,
right,
and the detail-oriented part of it, which I thought was great. The scene where Luthen is talking to Dedra, I can't remember how he pronounced it. The woman that's leading the planet.
Yeah.
And he like suddenly, he's just talking and talking, and she's not paying attention, and she's sort of giving him the eye roll.
Yeah. And he drops that, look at me.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, bro. Yeah. He's just the chops, man.
Right.
He's got those chops, and you see it again. My favorite scene in the fourth episode is when he puts all the accoutrement
on to go and be this character
that he's not.
And he's standing there.
And then he stops and he kind of does this. He sort of does this fake smile and everything. And I was just like, look at that lizard man change into somebody else. That was incredible.
And the memes are out there already.
Dude, he was so great though. That was just such a wonderful scene.
No, because he has to put on that fake personality to blend in with those people. So it doesn't expose himself.
He's so talented. Like, that guy's such a great actor.
So God, good,
all the scars, all them scars are great.
All them Swiss, Dutch, whatever they are. I don't know.
Vikings,
vampires.
No, he's so great in this, and I really love his character. A guy that I do not love is Mon Mothma's husband.
Oh, what a that dude! Almost said words I can't say.
You can't say those words.
Yeah,
but I know what you're thinking, and that guy is all of those words.
Yeah, and she gets back, and he's just like, we got all these people coming over to this dinner party, and she's like, why? Why? Right. All these people hate me. Why would you invite them?
Right.
He's like, well, I got you on the boring side of the table. And he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, these people were actively campaigning against me, and just like, they hate my guts. Why would you invite them to our house? Yeah. I just thought it'd be fun, blah, blah, blah. You make all the money, and I'm just your doofus husband or whatever. Like, that guy needs to go away real soon.
Oh, wait, I think I got the wrong character when I said the woman that's running the thing. I said Deidre, but I think that's actually the she's an Empire officer. She's not the one that's leading the op.
She's on the planet?
She's the one that's the blonde woman that is with the Empire, the ISP.
It's working with the security people or whatever.
Right. And I was I liked seeing the inside of the Empire, you know, which is, let's be honest, it's mostly just bureaucracy.
Right.
You know, running the Empire is mostly just a giant corporation.
Yeah.
And it's all papers and people moving.
Protocols
and all these other things. There's very little of it that's Star Destroyers and, you know, giant lasers and whatnot, you know. Yeah, there's not a lot of it.
And you notice, and I remember this
TIE Fighters are just like cop cars. That's all they are.
No, they're space police. They're patrol cops, which basically is what the X-Wing fighter pilots become in The Mandalorian. They're just patrolling the galaxy.
Yeah. Like a bunch of cops.
Right. But you notice, and this was in Rogue One as well, Krennic's outfit was all white. No one else's in the Empire at that point had an all-white uniform except Krennic. And we're seeing that 5 years prior to that movie, everyone in that room, part of the Imperial machine or whatever, they're all in these white suits. And you notice as it gets towards episode 4, they're in gray suits. They become darker because I guess it's like they think as they're going now that they're serving the purpose of the people and they're being good. but the corruption slowly starts settling in. So it shows in that uniform change, like they go from being pure with the white uniforms to understanding that they know what they're doing now. Like, it's pure.
I don't think they ever didn't know what they were doing.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But this series, I can't wait to see where this is going.
Let's make some predictions.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's too early to make a prediction right now.
I just for fun, like a little fun prediction.
Okay.
Okay.
You go first. All right. I got to think about this one.
This is going to be a discussion.
Okay.
Who of the team of seven, the Andor seven, which one of them
turns
is a double agent for the Empire?
I believe it's the guy that was sleeping on the rock that the dude had to come wake up.
You think that's him?
I feel like he's the double agent.
You think so? Because he's a little too agreeable, right?
He's just a little bit too laid back, and he's just like, I can feel it. Like, he's part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I thought that guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't trust him.
Because it would be easy to say the cousin from Bear would be the guy because he's gruff, you know?
Right.
He's gruff, and he's like, you know, and whatever. And then, obviously, the big dude with the space AK.
Yeah, who ain't happy about
He's not happy about any of this. Like, I just feel like he's safe. Now, we don't know the background or the backstory of any of these people, right?
No.
So they could have all grown up together, but that doesn't change the fact that somebody might have decided, I don't like living like this. I'm going to get me a fat something for turning these people in,
right?
And then I'm going to be out.
Or does the guy that's working for the Empire that's kind of like giving him all the inside info.
Is he leading him in?
Is he leading him into a trap? We don't know.
I mean, like, it would have to be an immediately sprung trap.
Yeah.
So if they get there, in whatever episode that they get there to do the job,
yeah,
if they don't get immediately met with a garrison of stormtroopers, it's not him.
Right, right, exactly.
Unless the real goal...
Or does he lead them until they think they're going to be successful with it, and then he springs the trap on.
Or unless the real goal is to find out who's financing them or who's putting this team together further up the chain, where's the real power or right. the... whatever coming from. You see what I mean? Like, that could be the deal, but I really feel like that's not going to be the case.
The girl who you were talking about, who was the blonde-haired, the officer that was in there with the Empire, Dedra, that's her name, Dedra.
Yeah, okay, so I got it. I had the wrong
She mentioned, she's like, I've been noticing pockets of these cells popping up all over the place. So She is starting to see it. No one else is paying attention to it. She obviously sees, like, hey, something's going on. Like, there's these little pockets of people that are starting to, like, interfere in things that...
Because for a second, when she started searching through all that information and, like, well, there's the unit that went missing, I was just like, what if she's the one that facilitated it? But no, because he stole it out from under them. You know, like, it wasn't like he was given this by somebody else. He wasn't part of the rebellion.
Right.
There was no reason for her to have been. So I eliminated her from a potential flip.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel like Mon Mothma's husband's going to turn her in at some point. Like, he's going to get the wind of something.
He's going
to
do something.
And he's way too happy and fat with, you know, his keep the empire great friends.
His station in life is pretty good for him, so why would he chance anything on losing that?
Yeah, like, yeah. I like living in this really nice white marble house.
Yeah.
Having my friends over, and you're boring, and they're funny, you know, and I don't care about people.
You want to live with dirt people, and I ain't having
I want to have fun.
Yeah. I can't have fun like that.
Husbands just want to have fun.
But, I think it's that guy. I think it's the dude that was on the rock sleeping.
Because there's got to be one.
There's always one. There's always one. There's always somebody who's just like gets offered a good bit of money. Like you said, these people have been living out in the wilderness, sleeping on rocks and stuff. Like, this guy's sick of that and just like.
He's either the double agent or he's the first one to die. There's no in-between for that guy.
There is no in-between for that guy.
He might end up being the double agent and still the first one to die.
This is also true.
Yeah. For a good heist movie, you got to have one flip somewhere in there.
If you've watched heist movies, you know how these things work out.
That's what I said. It's like Andor 7.
Andor 7. Yeah, this series is so good. I can't wait to see how the rest of it plays out. We got 12 episodes, so we got a lot left to go. Oh, I know. I'm super excited about.
Yeah, we're only 4 episodes in, and there's some really fantastic scenes and character growth.
Yes.
And just some really great TV. It's really just great TV, man.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of good stuff on right now that we're talking about on this podcast, which is great. So share it with your friends, people. Let them all know about the We Have Spoken podcast. Do we have any emails or messages?
We do.
From our loyal followers.
We do indeed. First, we're going to go to our Facebook messengers.
Yes.
Chats.
We Have Spoken podcast.
We Have Spoken podcast on Facebook.
The Book of Faces.
And it's from Teresa, but my phone does not have any good connectivities, so I'm going to switch gears.
Are you
going to
defer to me?
I'm going to go to the email, which is the We Have Spoken
there you go.
23 email address, and we got an email from Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
Patrick, and he's got a lot about other stuff like House of the Dragon, which we'll save for the next thing, but starts off with Andor, and he says, I love it. I hope fans get into it, as there's no Mandalorians or Jedi. Y'all know how salty I am about Star Wars fans not getting into legit new content. Yeah, well, I mean, join the club, man. There's only one Jedi-like thing we've seen so far, and that was the Kyber crystal.
Yeah, that's it.
That he gave to Andor as like a sort of like a down payment, but also like a show of faith.
Right.
But then he turns around. he turns around and tells the girl, he's like, "Hey, he's disposable, so you know." Like,
I think
we paid for him.
But I think he tells her that to convince her to take him. Like, hey, if that work out, you can kill him.
I agree. I agree with that. But still.
Yeah, I don't want to see a single lightsaber Jedi. I don't want to see any of that. I don't want to hear a mention of Obi-Wan Kenobi or a Skywalker.
Right.
I want this to be completely void of all that.
Yeah. So he this was obviously just after the first 3 episodes. The 3 episodes were perfectly placed or paced, made sense. That they did it that way. I like seeing more of the universe beyond the retreads we get because people didn't watch Rebels or they poo-poo Rogue One. Andor is just a little grimier and more adult, which I said already. Patrick, on the same page. I was surprised when he shot the second dude, but it made sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It did make 100%
sense. 100% made sense. Then I saw the Les Miserables vibe and the Rent-A-Cop couldn't let it go. Oh. Interesting.
I like that take. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. So then he jumps over to She-Hulk. Says She-Hulk has a lot of cringe and filler lately. Still no Daredevil. I think it's really just for us hardcore fans. It is a little bit of satire of our modern culture with the
absolutely.
That the friend, no, 100%. Without a doubt. This show is so self-aware.
Yeah.
It could be an AI in a you know, bad movie about robots taking over the future.
Yeah.
Like, it's that self-aware.
I love the fourth walls breaks on, like, when she's like, it's the guy from that attack. Like, did we do a previously? Can we do a previously on this guy?
That guy. Remember that guy? You might not remember him because it was really fast.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah.
That's great.
So the rest of the stuff he gets into was on House of the Dragon, and I think he did a little bit on the Rings of Power. So okay. I'm going to
we'll cover that next
go
time.
Away from that. So I did get the thing from Teresa.
I was about to say, I got it up right here. I can read it if you'd like.
Unless no, I have.
You want to be the official reader of emails?
I have it. I'm the reader. I read. Do you want to talk?
No. Go ahead.
You want to talk?
No. I'm fine. I'm sitting over here, and I'm just going to listen to you.
Okay. Good. She says, "Charles sucks." No, that's not what she.
I know what she says. I just read the whole thing.
She-Hulk isn't resonating with me. I'm not sure why, but I don't care about any of the characters, and at this point, I'm only watching because I might miss something important that affects the future MCU.
It's not for everybody. I get it.
Not going to be for everybody. Maybe future episodes might change that, but I'm not too optimistic.
You only got 2 left.
Then she talks about Rings of Power briefly. As far as Andor goes, in the flashbacks, he doesn't look 6 years old when he is taken. Maybe they age differently in space.
Well, yeah, everything's different in space.
He was not 6 years old when they took him.
No, I don't think it was ever said he was 6.
I don't think it was. His sister might have been 6.
Yeah, for sure. His sister was 6.
Also, at the beginning of Rogue One, he kills the informant. I thought it was out of pity or getting captured. But after seeing him kill the guard now, I think he's just a cold-blooded killer.
No,
well, I don't think that either. No. I think he's doing what he's got to do.
To survive.
To survive and keep himself off the radar. But I mean, at this point, he just got unlucky. If the guy would have been just like any other random corpo security guy, he would have just been like, okay, boss, you don't want me to worry about it? Okay, cool. Less paperwork for me.
Yeah.
But no, he had to go and make a thing out of it. And then he is directly responsible for the Death Star being destroyed and billions of people dying.
Right.
Good job, Ranger Rick.
Yeah.
All right. but he's not the typical hero we root for. So he's relatable.
Not a hero.
I hope they don't make him too violent so he doesn't seem like a hero. Well,
because he's not a hero.
He's not. He's not a hero. He's he's a freedom fighter and has a lot of non-heroic things that go into that.
Right. Exactly. The series is great. Monday, when we record, we'll talk about House of the Dragon and Rings of Power. Don't forget, you can message us on Facebook, We Have Spoken Podcast, and send us an email at wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com. And I think that's it. As I said, we've got another episode that'll be dropping next week. It'll be on Tuesday, and we'll cover House of the Dragon, Rings of Power, and anything else that happens to
or if you want to send us any messages, takes about these, we will read them at the end of the show as well. So
yes,
get your messages in.
Get your things together. But that's it for this episode. Until next time, for the Grim, Michael Grimion, I am Chuck P. This is the We Have Spoken Podcast. And until next time,
this is the way.